The following podcast of The Blitz is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine, and if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, and you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right. Deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code BLITZ101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code BLITZ101.
The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Are you ready?
What to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Twin Peaks off 59 and Kirby. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at my name, Jong, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. As we broadcast live from Twin Peaks on Kirby, come on out. Five locations in the Houston area, but you want to come to this one because I was looking at the traffic out there. It's brutal. Why you want to mess with that? You just come over here, get yourself some of that 29-degree ice-cold beer that's on tap. Perfect place to watch the national championship game tonight, your playoff games in the NFL this weekend. Twin Peaks is the ultimate sports lodge you've been searching for. It's your local source for sports on wall-to-wall TVs. I mean, can't miss the sports in here. Also, the most scenic views in the market. And everything on the menu is made from scratch. Twin Peaks, each drink, scenic views. We may have the best view in the house where we are, too.
Not bad.
Yeah, so you won't be able to get that view, but you'll be able to get plenty. There's no reason to be jealous. Just come on out and enjoy it. Really glad to be back here at Twin Peaks. It's been a few years, and I've always had good experiences here, always enjoyed coming, and, you know, if the game sucks, there's plenty to keep you occupied.
That's right.
One last thing on the Texans. We're going to move to the other games. The one thing I hope doesn't happen in their big meetings here at the end of the year is they don't sit down and say, oh, well, we were 11-5 and won the AFC South. We're so close.
That's – I don't know how you – what the reaction you got from fans were, but last night I got a lot of, dude, we were 11-5, won the AFC South. How can you act like this isn't a successful season? And
you know what? If and how you judge things is a lot based on how that game went, because they never had a chance, and it felt very much like the Kansas City game to me. And if you'd played it down to the wire, if you tied the game up and lost in overtime, you know, then you might say, hey, you know what? They might be close, but they didn't.
Yeah.
And it's not just that they lost, it's how they lost. And that's all I'm getting at. And I hope people are not being fooled by saying, oh, well, we were 11-5 and won the AFC South. That's great. Hang another AFC South banner. But I think most fans should want more than that at this stage. So.
You would think at this point, you got the quarterback, you got everything that you supposedly need. I don't know. I'm just thinking, would any other team, would New England, for example, be happy if they won the AFC East and lost in the wild card round at home? There's no way.
No.
I mean, no.
No, because at least they could say, hey, we finally beat the Patriots.
Yeah. I mean, there's the Texans still have a happy-to-be-here mentality, and that frustrates me.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If just go make some changes. Bring in some new blood on your coaching staff. I think that makes all the difference in the world. So, all right, let's get to the other games. Which one do you wish to discuss first?
Well, I guess we can go in order of the way they played out.
Okay.
After the Texans game, the Cowboys Seahawks game was about as competitive as you could get.
Yeah.
It's crazy the types of things that can make a difference in a football game. And I mean, imagine losing and it's one thing to lose like the Bears lost, your kicker misses a kick.
Yeah.
But imagine your kicker lose your kicker to an injury.
Yeah.
So you don't have a kicker. I mean, and that just changes the entire way that game plays out. It's just a
yeah, because nobody's carrying a backup kicker.
No. No, and their punter was trying like drop kick things like that.
Yeah.
It's an unfortunate way to go out, but man, what a it was a close game. It was a competitive game at least.
Yeah, it was, and
both NFC games were competitive. The AFC games, which we talked about being the games we were excited about.
Yeah,
both of them.
Yeah, but I think the reality to me is I believe that the. I didn't think whoever won these NFC games was going to have a chance next week. So nothing I saw really changed my opinion of that. I'd give the Cowboys a better shot of beating the Rams than I'd do the Eagles of beating the Saints. But it still, to me, would be a long shot. Although, they're playing pretty good defense. And my favorite thing, I wound up passing on the Colts game. And I got Seattle plus 2.5. Everybody was whining at the end that, they had to get a two-point conversion, and all the Cowboys bettors were heartbroken, and it was a moose and all that. And
there was a moose.
It was, but guess what? Some of us were on the other end of that moose, so I was happy to ride that moose.
I won a Seattle game with a moose a couple years ago. Remember the Hail Mary game against the Packers that everyone said, they screwed it?
It was getting lucky after getting unlucky. Like I said, if Janikowski doesn't get hurt, I think they may win the football game.
Yeah,
I don't think they need to have the 2-point conversion there. Actually did pretty well with the bets because I took Philly yesterday and I took the Chargers, and that Chargers game wound up being closer than in score than it really was, and I think the Chargers at the end. They've got to learn to finish a little bit better if they're going to be a Super Bowl team. I think they have the talent. I think they may have the best defense left in the whole thing. And they're the most well-rounded team. But they're not the best finishers late in games.
No, they almost let a team back into the game that didn't deserve to be back in the game.
The Ravens played like the Texans most of the game.
Yeah.
And the difference was when they got their first score, they got another one right after that. And, get the ball back with a chance to win the game. But... yeah, that game really wasn't that close. And I know there was a lot of talk, should they have gone to Flacco? I don't think it would have mattered. I mean, you did get 14 points out of Jackson. But Chargers now go to New England. Weather's supposed to be cold. And I think that's probably worries me a little bit with them going into nasty weather in New England.
It's funny. If you remember, the last time they went into New England was Phillip Rivers on an ACL game. And Phillip Rivers has apparently been thinking about that game ever since, that game that they lost when he had a torn ACL. And he's biting at or chomping at the bit to get back to New England to play against that team. So, and that was a long time ago. You're talking about like 10, 11 years ago. So he's been waiting for this for a long time. This is one of the best chances he's had.
Yeah, I do think the Patriots are vulnerable, but – we were talking about this a couple weeks ago. Would you take Brady against the field, even though they're not looking good right now? And, yeah, I probably would. I like the Chargers to cover, but I think the Patriots win the game.
Okay.
So, but we have a lot of time to talk about that. The early game, that was the early game on Sunday. And then yesterday, the most entertaining finish, certainly, was the Bears and Eagles. And the Eagles go down, get the score. I thought and maybe I'm in the minority on this, I thought he got in on the two-point conversion.
I did too.
Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not insane.
Crazy. I thought so too.
Yeah, I thought he got in on the two-point conversion.
I thought the Bears should have been driving down to tie the game.
Yeah, and Cody Park, he lines up for the field goal.
And not only that, they confirmed that ruling.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't just stand.
Say, okay, it stands, okay.
Yeah.
But confirm that ruling? I don't know about that.
Yeah, and a lot was made of the play before the half where apparently the rule is if they can't challenge the incompletion, whether or not it was incomplete. They didn't explain it very well, but apparently they did make the right call. It's an obscure rule that I wasn't familiar with.
That's the craziest thing I've seen happen in a playoff game.
Yeah, that needs to be fixed.
How do you make a catch, the play gets blown dead, and then they expected you to recover the fumble, and now because you didn't recover it, the catch is taken away?
Yeah.
How? That should have been Bears ball at the six.
It should have, but apparently that's the rule, is if there's no clear recovery – then you can't give him a catch there, even if he made the catch. So
I don't understand.
I'm not saying it makes any sense or that it's a good rule. I think it's awful.
That is the most ridiculous rule that I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. But I guess I felt a little better for Cody Parkey today when I saw that when the video came out that the Eagles tipped the ball.
Yeah.
On the kick, because if he had just choked that.
They showed it a bunch of times, and I didn't even see it.
No, it was like super slow-mo, but you could see it alter the ball. Yeah.
I didn't see it, but I'm saying yesterday, how many times did they replay that?
Yeah, and nobody saw it.
I didn't see it once.
So I'm not going to feel bad about the announcers not picking up on it or anything like that, but because, yeah, it got right off the it just got his fingers on it.
No, by the way, señor! No, señor! No, señor! No, señor! No, señor! No, señor!
No, señor. That was the Spanish call. That's generally what women tell me when I say anything to them. No, señor. In fact, they scream it that way. But, yeah, that game was pretty exciting. But I think going into next week, I don't think the Cowboys are good enough to beat the Rams if Todd Gurley's playing. I think they've overachieved to this point, but we'll see. I've seen more shocking things, but I don't feel like the Eagles can beat the Saints at all.
I don't either. I was probably a little greedy in my thought process, but I said if the Eagles win this game, Saints are going to have to give 7 points, and I'll gladly give 7 with the Saints. And then I was like, oh, they're going to end up giving more than 7, and then ended up opening at 9. I was like, oh boy. And so now you're talking about a lot of points in a playoff game, but that's it's tough to imagine the Eagles being competitive in that game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to write them off because there is something about this group with Nick Foles and their defense.
You're saying they've got the voodoo magic.
Yeah, I think they've got something going on, and their defense was pretty bad down the stretch because they were down to third and fourth string guys. But I thought their corners looked pretty good for most of that game against the Bears. Now the Bears don't have Mitch Trubisky's not Drew Brees.
No.
And there's no Thomas over there, and I think they're going to have a hard time keeping the Saints in check. I don't know about 9 points, but I have all week to think about that.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it comes down. Maybe people will start thinking that way.
The reality is the NFC, the two games this weekend, you were looking at four teams who really you wouldn't consider high-power offenses.
Right.
And the two teams that are waiting on them are absolutely high power offenses. So
if they play like they did mid season to early season, if they're playing like they did late, then I think these games will be a lot closer than people think. I just expect to see the Rams at their best. They went through this last year too, so they had a chance to. Jared Goff is not a first timer now.
Nope.
And I expect them to play really well, and I expect the Saints to look like the Saints that we've seen all year. And I would be surprised if that's not the matchup. AFC, I'm not going to be surprised if one of the top two seeds loses.
I wouldn't be surprised if they both lost, honestly.
I wouldn't either. And then you have Chargers hosting the Colts for the whole thing. You know, your 27,000-seat stadium in the AFC Championship.
And you'd have one of those two guys playing in their first Super Bowl, Rivers or Luck.
Yeah, which, either one, I think those are guys that you thought would have been there by now.
And, I mean, who would – the reality is in the AFC, I mean, Mahomes would be a first timer. The only one that's got any experience there is Brady.
That's why I probably still take Brady against the field.
And yeah, that's what Lamont had said the other. Yeah. I guess it was a week or two ago, but
yeah. All right, we need to take a break. We're way over. How did that happen? Did I miss the music, John? Of course I did. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We'll start talking a little college football, and then we'll have Lance join us at 5:30, and he can address some of these things as well. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know how I could explain that in a cooler and more doper fashion.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Twin Peaks off 59 and Kirby, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Twin Peaks. Come on out. Great place to watch the game tonight. Great place to get your grub on, get your beer on. Texter said, I'm on my way out there. Can I buy you guys a beer? I'm just having water tonight. But you can buy yourself a beer.
And please do.
There's lots of scenery.
You could buy Rogelio a beer.
Yeah, yeah. Rogelio's over there drinking. Rogelio's happy that he gets paid for another week because the Cowboys won.
Yeah, you could buy our promo chicks a beer.
Yeah. She'd like that. She'll FaceTime it to her boyfriend. JF288 said, rewatch the Texans game. They seem as far away from a Super Bowl as an 11-5 team can be. Yeah, I think they're closer, but not close. I mean, not going into next year with this group. They have to make some key changes in some key places. And I still think coaching needs to be part of that, not the head coach, because that's not going to happen. But we'll see. I mean, I how they evaluate themselves and how we evaluate them is probably a little different. And, you know, I think it's eye of the beholder kind of thing. And I just don't behold a team that can go to the Super Bowl like that. Unless, you know, like I said, unless Deshaun Watson plays out of his mind and they win that game, then you have a different opinion. But he didn't. And, you know, I think he'll have games where he does, but they got to protect him better. I still think that line is just – if anything, AJ, they might have been worse than they were last year.
Yeah.
Hey, can I ask you a quick college basketball question?
I'll take it.
Because I was flipping between Memphis and the Eagles game, and I got to say, that team is really, really good. They're well coached. Are there 16 better teams than them right now? They're ranked 17th. You watch all these guys, so I'm just kind of curious. I mean, I've seen some teams ahead of them that I think are better, but I don't know if I see 16 of them.
Well,
at this stage, with how they're playing, with some quality wins too.
Yeah,
I mean, Memphis is not. They're going to get better under Hardaway because he's got a bunch of great recruits coming in, but they're not a joke, and they just clown them.
Well, they're for sure legit. But they're better than I thought they even could be. So,
and they're finally starting to get something out of Hinton.
Yeah, and that's it's tough sometimes until you get into conference play to really measure what these teams are. I'm starting to think UH is legit. And I don't know where they should be ranked. I always say this, being a non-Power 5 or in college basketball, a non-Power 6 school doesn't mean as much in basketball as it does in college football. Those teams can compete, you know, for the most part, day in and day out with anybody. A few except like a team like Duke is that's a different animal.
But nobody. I mean, even if you're in the ACC, you don't have to compete with them day in and day out. You get them twice.
Yeah, but it's a special team. They've got it going on.
And yeah, that conference isn't garbage. It's not the Pac-12.
No.
Somebody brought up a pretty good point. The Colts have the most cap space next season. How good do you think they can get? I think that's part of why I am saying what I'm saying about the Texans is they've got to improve next year. They can't be this because I think the Colts get better next year. And if they keep Andrew Luck upright, they're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Want to get on the championship game a little bit here?
Let's do it.
I've seen a lot of the ESPN guys saying, oh, Alabama-Clemson again is good for football, and it's because I know they have to push the broadcast. In general, you'd like to see some new blood, but I'd rather see a game like this one where I think either team can win. I don't think we have that with Alabama playing anybody else. Now, I don't think Clemson's going to win. I'm going to go on record as saying I think Alabama, the big difference here is as good as Lawrence has been, he's still a freshman. He hasn't faced anything like what he's going to see with Alabama. And I think Alabama still has the edge at quarterback here because I think Tua is special. And I think Lawrence is special too, but he's not as experienced as Tua is. He hasn't played in a national championship game. And I think it's close. And I think if Lawrence can play out of his mind, he's going to have to run the ball a little bit more, I think, than what he's been doing in order to beat Alabama. But I'm not going to be shocked if they win. My only bet is I have Alabama first half minus 2.5.
Minus first quarter, minus a half.
There you go.
I don't have a full game play. In fact, I kind of lean Clemson, but I don't know how this game's going to play out.
The number's right where it should be.
I do too. And I think that if you were smart enough early in the season when Alabama was just dominating everybody, there, you could have gotten, at that time, a Clemson versus Bama price of Clemson plus 10.
Yeah.
Which is just crazy now. But
yeah, I'd have been on that in a heartbeat. But it's, at the time, Clemson, you didn't know. And there was also a stretch there where they barely beat A&M. And then you have the whole Kelly Bryant thing. And then Lawrence gets hurt right after he leaves. And you're thinking, I don't know, maybe Clemson doesn't even get there. But they're really good. And I think Dabo doesn't get enough credit. He's right up there. I think you put him in that conversation with Urban Meyer, and of course Urban's coaching right now. But I think you put him in a conversation right now with all those guys who aren't Saban as one of the best guys out there. He just does it year after year.
Yeah.
Are you going to watch any of the extra stuff, or are you just going to watch the main?
I'm going to watch the game.
Yeah, me too.
I'm a simple man.
Yeah, I think what's interesting to me is Clemson does have one of the few defensive lines that can match up with Alabama's offensive line. And so it'll be interesting to see if Alabama can run the football. But I kind of feel like you've got to take some shots down the field. And I do think that the secondary for Clemson can be had if they can't get pressure on. So,
well, if you go through and look at the best quarterbacks that Clemson's played this season, and obviously they're going to be playing their best quarterback tonight in Tua. But the two best offenses that they faced this year were probably South Carolina and Texas A&M. And those two teams, they had their way. Jake Bentley for South Carolina, he destroyed that Clemson secondary. So I don't know if – it's hard for me to – because this defensive front for Clemson is so good.
Yeah.
I don't know how Alabama runs the ball. The problem is this is the first time that Alabama doesn't need to run the ball to have success. All the other past iterations of Nick Saban, Alabama, needed to run the ball to win. Mm-hmm. And this Alabama team, they don't need it. They don't care if you don't let them run. That's okay for them. And where Clemson's weakest is in the secondary. Now, that said, Alabama's going to have a hard time stopping the run. And Etienne is going to have a day himself for Clemson. But if one team's, going up and down the field throwing and one team's running up and down the field, typically the team that's throwing is the team that's being chased, and it's hard to chase a team when, you're a run-first offense.
We'll get a lot more to this in the 6 o'clock hour, too. By the way, Ian at Rappaport tweeting, the Packers are hiring former Titans OC Matt LaFleur as their head coach.
Well, I mean, I get, yeah. That's a – it's a name.
It's an interesting hire. I mean, I think you're looking for a Sean McVay.
Yeah.
And, we'll see how it plays out, but I know a lot of people were high on the guy.
That's a big job, man.
It is.
That's a big job, and what he was the. I mean, I guess he worked. Where was he before?
This was the Rams, wasn't he?
Right.
He went to the Titans.
Before that, he was in Atlanta as a QB coach. So he's been around some successful guys. He's been around Kyle Shanahan. He's been around Sean McVay. Maybe there's something to it.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting hire. All right, if you're watching the game tonight, come on out here to Twin Peaks and get your grub on. You can enjoy the scenery, enjoy the food, enjoy the game. And if you're watching from home, you know what you should probably do is start raiding your Carbach.
Yeah, that's Carbach, that's the way to go. And it's a good night to open up something special, championship night. Your last college football game of the season.
I've got a BBH just for tonight.
I knew you would. I knew you would. And if you're, you know, if you're looking for dinner tonight, Carbach's got a great restaurant and patio. Fantastic beers all the time and a really great menu to go along with it. Guys, there's a lot of seasonal beers out right now. The Daymaker Brute IPA is available now. It almost doesn't taste like beer, I'm going to be honest. My wife likes it, and that's saying something. My wife doesn't like any beer, and she likes that. And then the chocolate stout.
That's which really good.
They brought in, and man, it tastes like a chocolate bar. That is super chocolate forward. So, and of course, they got beer that tastes like beer, if that's what you're into. They got that, too. Get your hands on a Rodeo Clown, something like that. That'll wake you up in a hurry. But a really versatile lineup. And, guys, follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Or just go into Carbach, and or if you're not near the restaurant or brewery, wherever you're at, ask your bartender to please make it a Carbach.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Twin Peaks off 59 and Kirby, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live out here at Twin Peaks. Lots of great food, lots of great beer. Got the game on tonight, plenty to see out here. And joining us now, as he does every Monday, the legend that is Lance Zierlein. Lance, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
We're just looking at scenery here.
That's yeah, all. Yeah. Scenic views, Lance. What are you looking at right now? Jong?
Yeah, I'm looking at Jong. And Previously, I was looking at a wide receiver from NC State who I think is going to run about a 4.8. That's not typically as fast as you want, yeah.
Is that really an NFL prospect then?
I don't think so, but he's coming out early. I think he'll run in the 4.6s. He's a kid named Jacoby Myers. He had a ton of catches for them. He broke their single season catch record, but yeah, you got to be able to run a little bit.
Also playing with, you know, one of the most highly touted quarterback prospects that's coming out this year, but I'm sure, you know, in the NFL he'll just be a stud, can't miss.
I guess we'll find out well, because you know what, that's how you build teams. And you know, the Colts were built, frankly, Chris Ballard had a disappointing draft in 2018, and then he followed it up this year with a ridiculous draft, which included two rookie all-pro picks. And I don't know how often that's ever happened in NFL history, where you had a first-round all-pro Quentin Nelson followed by a second-round all-pro, and that would be Darius Leonard. You know, and that's one of the ways you turn your team around quick, but the unsung reason is because they drafted a guy in Braden Smith in the, I want to say, fourth round, who ended up becoming a starting right tackle, I think in the third round. And,
he was a second rounder also.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. They had three second rounders. So they put resources into
They had four position. Second rounders.
Yeah, and they did something with them. And I think, you know, the Texans have two second rounders. They have four picks inside the top 100. Brian Gain didn't have any first or second rounders last year to work with. So this is going to become, you know, the Texans really have to knock it out of the ballpark. And not just, and obviously not just with those top 100 picks, but they got to do it in free agency too, because the amount of holes that they have in the secondary, at cornerback specifically, and then, you know, at a running back position potentially, with wide receiver depth, obviously along the offensive line with both tackles and at least one guard spot. I would argue a pass rusher potentially with Whitney Mercilus, I think, going to get the axe this year in the offseason. I mean, there are a lot of holes that have to be filled, and I don't know if they can do it just with the draft.
I just want to throw something in real quick because I'd heard this on the broadcast, and one of the texters confirmed it. The last time was Chicago Bears. You might have heard of these two guys, Dick Butkus and Gale Sayers.
Oh, wow. It was that long ago?
Yeah.
Well, I would imagine that's hard to – yeah, I mean, it's hard to get two – it's hard to get an all-pro in any draft and then to get as a rookie, and then to have two of them is kind of ridiculous. So, yeah, that's pretty good company there.
Let me ask you, what did you think of the Colts draft coming into this season? Because I was thinking about that over the weekend, and I looked up how do you say that? I'm sure you know this guy's name for Sports Illustrated, Nihal Kalor.
Is that how you say his name? I don't know him. Huh?
I guess he's some sort of draft guy, but he did draft grades for the Colts.
Yeah.
It was Andy Benoit who was grading them.
Yeah.
Okay, so Andy Benoit, Quentin Nelson, D+. Darius Leonard, B, and Braden Smith, D-.
So wait, did he say Quentin Nelson, D+?
D+.
Oh, that's got to hurt. I think Ballard sent me that screen capture of that guy's draft stuff, which he gets a kick out of that stuff. He loves that the media does their job. I mean, he used to listen to our sports talk show here on the station. It's one of the reasons I got to know him, but... I thought they had the number three. I rated them the number three draft last year of all the drafts. I thought they had a great one. I believe that Quentin Nelson was the best offensive line prospect I had ever studied. I thought he was a transcendent pick. I was high on Darius Leonard and how active and fast. And you got to remember now, you know, I kind of was tutored under Chris Ballard and his philosophies of how you draft and things like that. So I didn't like his draft the year before, but I thought this was – a really good draft going in. I mean, I really did. I wasn't as high on Braden Smith. He ended up being better than I thought. I thought Tyquan Lewis was kind of average. He ended up playing better when he was healthy. Kamiko Touré. I recognized what he was doing, which was building the fronts, offensive and defensive line, because that's how you win championships. And the Texans, we sit and act like the Texans' defensive line is this great thing that doesn't need to be improved. But they really do need to improve it. And I know JJ's a good player, and I know Clowney's a good player. They couldn't get after a quarterback yesterday. And I'm sorry, but if you can't get after a quarterback, you need to go find somebody who can get the quarterback, because you sure as you know what cannot run with their wide receivers, because you're dead slow at corner. So if you're not going to be great at corner, you better go be great at rushing the passer, and the Texans weren't that. But, you know, also – they're kind of a bully over there, and Quentin Nelson is known as the big bully on the offensive line. He brings a different mindset, and I think that really is missing from the Texans. They're just hanging on for dear life at tackle. And then at guard, you know, Kelamete is just a backup. So I think Martinez Rankins will step in at left guard. Then you'll have right guard Zach Fulton. But you need to go throw some competition in the mix in the interior line. And then you got to go try to find two tackles and let Lamb and Davenport fight it out as who's going to be the swing tackle. And one of those guys, you know, may not make it. And I got, you know, in my opinion, I thought Lamb played better than Davenport this year. And that's
No, that's not. But I was looking at it. I don't know how far you've gotten with offensive linemen yet. But it looks like there's two really good tackles that are both going to go likely top 10 and then a pretty big drop. So what can they do at 23?
Well, I think there's going to be three tackles in the first round, but one of them at three for sure. One of them is Jonah Williams, who plays left tackle at Alabama, number 73. He's my highest rated tackle so far. I know Cody Ford, who's the right tackle for Oklahoma, is a first rounder. Greg Little for Ole Miss is probably going to be a first rounder left tackle. But they have Andre Dillard, who's a left tackle at Washington State, who's pretty talented as well. There's four right there off the top of my head that I think one of those guys will end up getting to the Texans potentially. So I do think they've got a chance to sit tight and get a tackle at 23. And I don't know that I've thought about this. You might want to trade up and target a tackle, but man, you just really have so many needs on the offensive line and at cornerback that I'm not sure I'm really in the, unless you're giving up a fourth, I'm not sure I'm really excited about giving away any other additional picks just to move up. I mean, I think those are all valuable picks.
Do you agree the Texans need to hammer some things in free agency as well this season? Yep. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think you need to go get – you know, they missed on on Aaron Colvin. Colvin was a healthy scratch. Yeah. That is an admission that they screwed up and they missed. I don't know what they do now and how they get away from that pick. If they hang on to him, I guess you kind of have to hang on to him for another year. They got a big decision to make with both safeties. Well, safeties with Kareem Jackson and Tyrann Mathieu. I don't think you can keep both guys. You might keep one. My guess is it would be Mathieu, but you might not keep either guy. But I do think Mathieu is more than likely going to stay. Andre Howe will stay. And then you've got to completely retool cornerbacks. You could be looking at finding three new cornerbacks. There's no way you find three new cornerbacks in the draft. It's not possible. You've got to get one of those guys from free agency again. You got to swing. And you look at what the Texans have done with secondary players in free agency. Ed Reed, strikeout. Raheem Moore, strikeout. Aaron Colvin, strikeout. And then Tyrann Mathieu, I think was solid this year. So they haven't had a lot of success as an organization going and trying to – oh, Aaron Colvin, strikeout. So they haven't had a lot of success trying to find secondary help via free agency, but I don't think that can stop them. I think they still have to look again this year. Because you're right, AJ. At some point, you're going to have to address another running back, which I think you can find running backs, wide receiver, and maybe even – you just rotate in defensive line help. Maybe you go find somebody else on the defensive line. And what are you going to do about wide receiver? Are you really going to trust Will Fuller and Kiki QT next year?
That's what I said. I can't imagine going out there and thinking, okay, we're good with these guys because two of your three top receivers have proven they can't stay healthy for more than half the games.
Yeah, and if you can't stay durable, if you're not durable enough, you can't be counted on. I don't want to hear about – here's the worst thing an organization can do. Well, when they're healthy, if you start off with when they're healthy, you are bound to fail as an organization. When they're healthy, and frankly, that was my concern with Chris Paul. Every conversation we had to have about Chris Paul this offseason was when he's healthy – anytime you have to start leading conversations with when he's healthy, that's a problem if you're going to be relying on that player.
Yeah, that's the old, as long as Yao Ming is healthy, the Rockets are contending.
I mean, we saw that, Fred. Well, as long as Tracy and Yao stay healthy, when both guys are healthy, and especially that, when both guys are healthy, is for sure you're headed for disappointment.
What's your best guess on what happens with Jadeveon Clowney?
I think he'll get franchised. I think they'll sniff him out for another year, make sure he's, the football character's good, make sure he's productive and he has a good offseason, and then they'll play it by ear after that. I would do that. I would make him sit on another I'd make him sit on a franchise contract for a year.
We talked about this earlier in the show. Had Whitney Mercilus been the Whitney Mercilus he was for the last two or three years this last season, wouldn't you just let Clowney walk?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think you would.
But Whitney Mercilus just no-showed this year.
Well, I don't know if you'd let Clowney walk now. Clowney's a pretty dominant run defender with the ability to be very disruptive across the board. A lot of NFL people think Clowney, on their best days, that Clowney's better than Watt right now or more disruptive than Watt. Now, his production is not the same as JJ's.
Mike Francesa thinks so, by the way.
No, does he really? But
yeah, was he awake when he said it?
Mike Francesa said J.J. Watt's overrated. He's been that for years. He's been telling you that. He's good. He's not great. He's good.
For years?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the dumbest thing.
Did you not
ever
hear that clip?
I haven't listened to Mike Francesa for years now. I mean,
well, I've never listened to him, but I hear his clips on the internet, and it made me laugh. John, you got to look that up. Mike Francesa on J.J. Watt.
His clips on anytime Mike Francesa is on the internet, it's never a good day for Mike Francesa.
No. Who do you think's the most live dog in this divisional round?
Oh, let's see. I would say I don't think it's the Cowboys. I think that's going to be one of the easier outs. I don't think Philadelphia is a live dog. I think we're headed for a crash course there with both favorites getting there against the number. To me, I would say I think the Chargers are the most live dog, even more so than the Colts. I know the Colts will be the hot pick, but to me, I think the Chargers are the live dog because I don't think we're fooled by what New England is. Look, Kansas City has explosive high-end potential. I just don't see New England as a high-octane team anymore. So I think San Diego, even though they got to travel, they got to travel east again in back-to-back weeks, which is a tough out, I still think that they have the recipe to win on the road again as a live dog. So I'd say the Chargers.
Lance, one of the things that we talked about earlier, I'm a firm believer that the Texans need to take a hard look at their coaching staff, and that maybe it's time for Romeo Crennel to become assistant head coach again, and you go hire a guy who was a good defensive coordinator who got fired as a head coach, whether it's Jack Del Rio or Chuck Pagano or somebody like that. I also think they need an offensive coordinator. And knowing how the mentality over there, I don't think it's going to happen. But how much would just a change like that, those two, make a big difference for this team next year?
Oh, it can make an enormous difference. I think offense coordinator – look, I hear a lot of people talk about changing defensive coordinator and changing offensive line coach. There is a talent infusion that is needed. I don't care who your coordinator is. There's only so much you're going to be able to get from, you know, from certain players at certain positions and expect success. That's just a fact. With that said, I wouldn't be shocked if Romeo stepped kind of into retirement after this year, because he may see the writing on the wall, which is it may be a rough year for the team next year if they can't get secondary figured out. And then the other thing is, see, I'm going to disagree with you. I think Bill O'Brien is going to recognize he's done it before and stepped away from play calling. I think Bill O'Brien is going to step away from play calling, and I think they're going to get another offensive coordinator so that he can take a macro view of the team. And I think that is the smart move. If he doesn't, I don't think it's smart not to. But B, I just think you have to be able to be able to manage your quarterback from, not necessarily from afar, but I think you need to have more, I guess, freedom to manage a quarterback as opposed to worrying about game plan. So I think being a head coach allows you to do some of those quote unquote quarterback whisperer stuff. As opposed to offensive coordinator. And I think it's time that you get an offensive coordinator that you really feel like can work towards Deshaun's strengths, because I have a feeling he's going to always have some issues with reading and recognizing blitzes quickly, responding to blitzes. And the best way to counter that is to kind of simplify offenses, do what he's really good at doing, which I felt like maybe Bill O'Brien did that in the first year. And then from there, you know, just kind of, I think the idea that you have to be complex and diverse is overrated in today's NFL. I think you have to do what these talented quarterbacks do well and don't overthink it. And that may require a different offense coordinator.
Yeah, and I'd like to see somebody who's from a different system, like Adam Gase, if he doesn't get a head coaching job, or somebody like that. Spend some money, man.
Yeah, you know, it will be interesting to see how Bill O'Brien approaches the coordinator positions, if either one of them open up, if he steps aside or Romeo steps down. Are you willing to go get a former head coach? Are you going to be you should be secure. You just got a new head coach. You know, you just got a new contract. But are you going to be willing to do that? Are you going to be willing to think outside the box and go look at potentially the collegiate ranks and go find a smart offensive mind who might not be a big name guy but is the best fit for Deshaun Watson? Are you willing to do that? I think Cliff Kingsbury is going to be, believe it or not, I think he's got a decent chance of becoming a head coach in the NFL. That's crazy to me that you can get fired from Texas Tech, be unimpressive at Texas Tech, relatively speaking, and then your next stop is head coaching gig in the NFL. That seems unbelievable to me that he's even getting interviews. But I do think Cliff would have been...
Well, it's almost like... It's almost like the worst. The guy who coordinated the worst defense in the league a year ago got a head coaching job and then got some votes for coach of the year. I mean, imagine if something like that happened. Oh, wait. That's Mike Vrabel.
But the difference is Cliff failed, and like, he couldn't post a winning season in the Big 12. It's like the Big 12 is just full of a bunch of killers as
with
you
the
know, teams.
MVP of the league on his team.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. That's just very strange to me. But regardless, I do think he's a great, you know, it's kind of funny to go that route all the way to what I'm about to say, which is I think he's the kind of offensive mind that would be great for Deshaun Watson. And that's one of the reasons why NFL teams are looking for him, is they're all desperate to plug him in with their quarterback. And that's why you're going to hear his name mentioned with the Jets. That's why you're going to hear his name mentioned with Tampa Bay. That's why you're going to hear his name mentioned with Arizona. These guys have quarterbacks that they want to build, or in Tampa's case, salvage, and they think that Cliff Kingsbury's knowledge of offense is what can make that happen. So, you know, if you're willing to look at those teams for a new offensive coordinator, I think the Texans looking for that same type of offense coordinator wouldn't be a bad thing.
What do you think about Matt LaFleur in Green Bay?
You know, he's kind of an interesting name. I don't know about where, you know, where he came from and what he's done. I don't know how he steps from I don't know how he's going to handle all that, but that I think that's an interesting name. Talented coach, I know. He's a coach that has had some success, and I know he's well thought of in the industry.
All right, that's Lance Erline. You can hear him on the bench every Monday through Friday, 7 to 9. Does a great job, joins us every Monday. Lance, appreciate the time, my friend. Go back and look at 22-year-olds.
You slow-ass 22-year-olds.
We're doing the same. Only
yeah, I was going to say, you know, for what it sounds like, you guys are probably doing the same thing.
Don't judge us.
Also with fluid hips.
Yeah, good movement.
So much fluidity out here.
Strong upper bodies, yeah. So
and some strong lower bodies,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
like some burst, I would expect.
All right, thanks, Lance. Hey, guys, new year, time for you to get you make some resolutions. How about good health? How about better sleep? And that's what Texas Mattress Makers can do. Take advantage of their New Year's showroom specials that not only fit your pocketbook but also your body. The right bed custom fitted for you will make all the difference in the world. Great thing about Texas Mattress Makers, when you walk in the door, you're saving 50% off of what you would pay in a retail store because they make the mattresses right there, sell them directly to you, custom fit them, and you're going to get expert tips for quality sleep when you visit there because it's amazing what they can do. They're like wizards. Like, you'll get on a bed and say, oh, yeah, this feels good, and then Yuval or Lax and we've got to say, no, this is a bed for you, and you get on it and you're like, oh, my, that is just an amazing experience. And you can also check out TexasMattressMakers.com. They'll give you all kinds of tips for quality sleep. And they got all kinds of things going on over there. They know what they're doing. And get your snooze news from Texas Mattress Makers. Subscribe today for their YouTube channel for tips, ideas on sleep, and your health. They want you to sleep better. You're going to save a bunch of money doing it. Visit them today. The new store, 5026 East 3rd Street in Katy, or 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. That's the original. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price guaranteed. TexasMattressMakers.com.
Well, hello! To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.